read just a little bit from the book of St. John. I think I'll start with the 12th chapter at the first verse. The book of St. John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say, and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You know, there's a lot of things in this tonight that I'd like to talk about. I don't know what I'll say, how much I'll say, but I'd like to say a few things. There's at least three outstanding sermons in this one text that would be so dimensionally deep that perhaps if we preached it, they might not be more than two or three, if any, that would even get it. But I doubt very seriously if we'll get into those things tonight, but I'm counting on getting into them one night if the Lord will help me. I'm planning to get into those things and try to bring out some of the dimensional depths of the wonderful things of Jesus. Now, I'd like to take my time and talk with you. I said here just a little while back that I would like to take the board and set it out here and start a teaching series, whereas I've not started it yet. But today is a real significant day. Now, you might say, well, Brother Pike, it appears to me every time you come to service, it's a significant day. To me, it is. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm looking at so many things until it really is. I'm telling you the truth about it. Like Brother Bill, I believe it was, or one of them today told Brother Bill it was, he said, you know, said when you saw that vision and said you saw, said that you saw that happening in heaven, and nobody didn't see it but you, said that must have been true, said, because today they're showing the vision over the video and said can't nobody see it but they're at the parsonage. So Bill was watching some things, and you know, there was a great thing that was taking place today, and in the last day or two there's been quite a number of things in the spirit that's taken place. Perhaps some of you have seen it, perhaps some of you have not seen it, but it is wonderful to be in the mind of Christ and to see the lovely things that are taking place. You know, if we are sober and sound and holy and pure before God without any malice in our heart, without any bitterness in our heart, without any deceit in our heart, then we can see these things. How do you know that? You say, how can we see them that way, Brother Pye? Because God is a spirit. God is a spiritual revelation. How do you believe God's a spiritual revelation? All right, God is a spiritual revelation. But I want you to think on this now. The pure in heart shall see God. I'm so glad tonight that I've learned about God. What an excitement, what an adventure, what a thrill. I never dreamed in my early Christian life of the great adventure and the great thrill of being a Christian. I meet people so often and I talk with them, and living a Christian life to them is a great burden. It seems like they're under a great weight. They dread to go to church. They dread to pray. They dread to fast. They dread to study. It seems like there's no life, no exhilaration. It seems like there's no activation from God in their life whatsoever. While it's with me, I'm thrilled every day of my life. In the morning, I wake up with a great thrill. I go to sleep at night. If I wake up in the night, I wake up with a great thrill. I am so thrilled concerning God. It seems like that my soul is continually magnifying God. There is something that has happened to me. I've been born again. There's something that's got down within my heart. There's a deep that's calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. There is an activation of life that's motivating and moving and charging my inner being. I am illuminated with His presence day by day. My mind is wide, wide awake concerning the things of God. I have no joy out of new automobiles. I have no joy out of money. I have no joy out of fine refineries of life. I have no thrill out of those things. There's nothing about those things that excite me. If a man gives me $1,000, it doesn't move me in the least. If he gives me $5,000, it doesn't affect me in the least, because I have no thrill in that way. I appreciate every dollar of it, because it takes the money to be able to reach out around the world. It takes the money to be able to pay the bills to keep a place for people to worship. And I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And I'm not foolish. I know the value of money. I know what it means to have money. But it has no appeal to my heart. I have found nothing in life that appeals to me except Jesus Christ the Lord. He is my thrill. He is my hope. I am a fanatic for Christ. He is everything that I love, everything that I want. Everything that stands between me and Christ, it's nothing but lying vanities that will pass away. It is only a thrill for a moment, and then it is no more. It is something that you soon grow weary of and tired of. It doesn't mean anything. And I look through those things, and I look beyond those things, and I look out into the future, and I see something that's lasting, something that's eternal, something that will never pass away, something that's captured my admiration, that is an eternal state of being. And I'm thrilled over it. I look beyond the world of vanity. I look beyond the thoughts of vanity. I look into a world of great treasure. I found a pearl of great price. All that I ever had, all that I will ever have naturally, I have sold it and purchased a field of great price. This pearl that God spoke of. If we fail to be pure at heart, we will never see the kingdom of God. If we fail to be pure in heart, we will never come into the presence of God. Folks, listen to me. God is a spirit, and He is the invisible force that no man can see. He is the great light unto whom no man can approach. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches that God is the great light. No man can approach unto that great light. No man has ever seen that great light. No man shall ever see that great light except through the Lord Jesus Christ. That light is a great light. John said that we have handled that light. Our hands has handled that light. He said we've been in the presence of that light. That great light that has come to lighten the world. God is a light. God is a spirit. God is not a light that you see as I see with my natural eyes as I look at these lights. But God is a spiritual light. A light that cannot be seen by the natural eyes. God is a light that lightens the understanding of mankind. He is a light that gives light to the inner man. Whereas Paul said, the eyes of your understanding, let them be enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend according to godliness, that you might be able to comprehend the great heights of God, that you can scale the great walls of heaven and comprehend the heights of God, that you may be able to comprehend the great depths of godliness, that you might be able, extensively speaking, to comprehend the length, the breadth, the greatness of God. God is a spirit. God is the great light. Only the pure in heart shall see the great light. Only the pure in heart shall be able to approach into the great light. Only those that are pure in heart shall be able to see the kingdom of the living God. God is a spirit. Hallelujah. God's kingdom is a spirit. The thing that confounded the Jews, when they said to Christ, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom of God?
He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, my servants would fight if my kingdom was of this world. He said, but I have no battle with flesh and blood. He said, we wrestle against spirits, against powers of evil that are out yonder in the dimensional places that the eyes cannot behold. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God doesn't come by seeing it with your natural eyes. But he said, the kingdom of God is a revelation. The kingdom of God is spirit. The kingdom of God is within the heart of a human being. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of another world. Now I know that someday the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And that kingdom that is of another world, that great spiritual kingdom, will manifest itself through a natural veil to where the human eye can see it. But there is a kingdom that is already set up, and it is the kingdom of God. There is a majesty that sits upon the throne, and there are angelic forces that honor and obey him, and they do his every desire. I'm glad to say that I am one of those that are in his presence. I'm glad to say that I am of that spiritual kingdom, hallelujah. I am in the presence of God. I've been transported from this world into another dimension, into another era, into another world. And as Paul said, caught up into that heaven where things are oblivious, in a great state of bliss. I am one of his servants that obey his voice. I am one of them that love him and desire to see the greatness of his appearing in this world. To be a saint of God, we've got to be acquainted with God. To see the kingdom of God, we've got to be pure in heart. It doesn't matter if you join the church, that's not sufficient. It doesn't matter if you've been a church member for many long years, it's still not sufficient. It doesn't matter if your parents was good church members. It doesn't have anything to do with the church that you're affiliated with. The one thing that we've got to grasp and get a hold of is that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with church affiliation. Church affiliation has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Have you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter about church affiliation. There may be a Baptist man that's in the kingdom of God. There may be a Catholic man, as the world will call him, in the kingdom of God. There may be one that's called Pentecostal in the kingdom of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, then you're one of those preachers that believe the Baptist is going and the Methodist is going and the people that's called Pentecostals are going. No, I don't believe the Catholics going, I don't believe the Baptists going, and I don't believe the ones that call themselves Pentecostals are going. So see, you've got it all wrong. I don't believe any of them are going, but I believe the pure in heart shall see God. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're pure in heart, then God's going to visit you, and you're going to see God, folks. If you're pure in heart, Christ is coming to you. If you're pure in heart, you're going to get a visitation from God. If you're black, if you're white, if you're yellow, if you're red, you're going to get a visitation from God when you get pure in heart. And it doesn't matter what church you belong to, if you don't get pure in heart, you'll never get a visitation from God. You get away somewhere and you pray and you call on the name of Jesus. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a church member. You don't have to be affiliated with some church, but just get away somewhere, whether it's in the pea patch or whether it's in your own room somewhere beside your bed, whatever, and begin to ring the prayer bells of glory. And the first news you know, you'll feel a connection on the other end. You'll feel something that begins to move in your spirit. The first news you know, you'll feel an energizing. You'll feel the power of God begin to break the yokes. And then you'll begin to feel a little more heavenly. And the more you pray, the more heavenly you will feel. And the more heavenly you feel, the more you'll want to pray. The pure in heart shall see God. What is God? God is a revelation. Do you want to see God? I want to see God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for God to come down here and just catch me up and take me up into heaven. There isn't going to be any days like that, folks. There's not going to be any days like that. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me that God isn't going to come down here and catch us all up and to take us to glory? No. There won't be any days like that. That's why the Bible said that he will come like a thief in the night. Why did the Bible say it would be like a thief in the night? If God comes down here and just rolls back the heavens and reaches and gets a bunch of people, that's not like a thief in the night. You say, why? Because everybody sees that. But when a thief comes in the night, people don't see the thief in the night. It's like a thief in the night that he will come. What was God talking about? God is a spirit. We have to understand spiritual things. We have to understand spiritual terms. We have to understand what was talking to us. It was a spirit. And what does he mean? He means spiritual things. When God said he would come like a thief in the night, he meant that I will come as a spiritual revelation within the heart of mankind, and the world won't see me. Hallelujah. But the pure in heart shall see God. No man can see God and live. How do you know that? No man can see God and live. Paul said you got to fall into the ground and die. You got to swear to your own heart. If you're going to be pure in heart, you got to die. Because no man can see God and live. That means that you got to die to the lust of the flesh. You got to die to the things of the world. You got to die to your will and your desire and your ambitions and all of the things that you want to do. Then you become pure in heart. God, how does God purify your heart? The Bible said that God purifies our heart by faith. How can my heart be purified? By faith. Faith in what way? By believing in what Christ has done for me. I am purified in heart by the presence of God, by faith in Calvary. I am purified in my heart as I believe in Christ. Now, how can I believe when I do the very best that I know how to do? When I've done the very best that I understand? When I put forth my best efforts, then I begin to believe. And when I begin to believe, then the Spirit of God begins to come into my heart and wash me with the washing of the water of the Word. But until I have done my very best, until I swore to my own hurt, until I denied my own feelings, I cannot have faith in God. Because faith will not work in a heart of condemnation. I must do all that I can. Then my faith will register in God. And then the Spirit of God will come through my faith. And the Spirit of God will come in my heart. And God will wash my heart. And then I will be pure in heart. Then I shall see God. For the revelation of Jesus Christ will begin to come to me. And then it will begin to dawn on me what he said and what he meant. And the words that are naturally conveyed to my listening ears by oral expression shall turn into a spiritual significance. And I shall learn of a spiritual state of being that I was never acquainted with before. I shall see an unraveling and unveiling. I shall see something coming into my life and heart that will energize me and make me stronger than I ever was before in my life. The pure in heart shall see God. God is returning into this world. God is coming back. But the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. That God hath blinded their eyes. Though Jesus did so many miracles, the Bible said, yet they believed not that he was the Messiah. Though he raised the dead, though he unstopped the deaf ears, though he made the blind to see, he made the lame to walk. But for all of these things, the Bible said they believed not that he was the Messiah. Why did they not believe? The same reason that Pharaoh couldn't believe. Though Moses turned Egypt into a rubbish pile, yet Pharaoh could not believe. Why could he not believe? Even his own people went to him and said, Pharaoh, you must be out of your mind. Said, this man has turned Egypt into a rubbish, into a garbage dump. And said, you still refuse to believe and let these people go. But see, the Bible said God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Them Egyptians had held his people too long, 430 years. God had said, Abraham, after 400 years, I will visit my people with a great hand of deliverance. He said, when the iniquity of the Gentiles or the Egyptians is full, then I will raise up a deliverer. And I will send Moses, and he shall deliver my people. And God kept his promise. And when the day of deliverance come, it was no need to start repenting then. Folks, I tell you, you can go on sinning and go on being contrary to God and go on doing the things that's unlike Christ. And then there'll come a day when it won't do you any good to repent. You may want to repent, but God will harden your heart and cause you to go after the things of the world and be more interested in the things of the world than of God. And you'll look at yourself and you'll say, why in the world am I doing this? Why is it when I know that God's coming is at hand? Why is it that when I get out of the presence of the preacher that I find myself in the same old place that it was the day before? Why is it I can't get myself off of my mind, off of myself, and off of materialistic goods? Why is it that I've always got my mind on the world? Why is it that when I leave the presence of the preacher or the church, I wind up in the same place I was? And you continue to give your time to Satan, then you want to repent at the last minute. God will harden your heart like he did Pharaoh. Oh, Pharaoh would have gladly come down off of the throne and kissed the feet of Moses. He'd have gladly bowed down and licked him with his tongue and give him a washing with his tongue. Amen. Pharaoh would have been glad to do it. But God didn't intend for them Egyptians to repent. He saw the days that they lashed out against his people. He saw the whip and the bruises that was upon the backs of his people. He seen the way they'd been cheated and the way they'd been mistreated. And then when the wrath of God began to come, they wanted to repent, but God wouldn't accept their repentance. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but he didn't find any place of repentance. God gave him a chance for the birthright, but he wouldn't have the birthright. He wanted the things of the world. And then when the time came for the birthright to bring the blessings of his father, then God took the birthright away from him. He repented and said, I've changed my mind. I believe it's better to serve God than to have a little nest egg. I believe it's better to serve God than it is to be in this condition and lose out with my birthright. Oh, it was so beautiful, but it was too late. God hardened the heart, and God would not let a repentance come in. You follow me? While we have opportunity, we've got to soften our hearts. We've got to soften our disposition. We've got to get our mind on the Spirit. We've got to be honest and sincere with our fellow man. We've got to pay our just and our honest debts to the best of our ability. We've got to be clean without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing in the light of those that are looking upon us. We've got to be real, true Christians in the earth. Hallelujah. We've got to have a testimony of perseverance. We cannot be afraid of the devil. If you are afraid of the devil, you're defeated already. The Bible said to be bold as a lion. If you're anything less than bold as a lion, you don't have the victory. You've got to be bold as a lion, but you've got to be harmless as a dove. Hallelujah. You can't hurt nobody. You've got to stand up for Jesus. When afflictions come, you've got to stand up for Jesus. When you feel you've got cancer, you've got to be bold in God. And the Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may receive help in the time of need. Boldly. You say, Brother Pine, you mean that what I ought to do is just go up there and say, now look here, God, this belongs to me. That's not the kind of boldness he speaks on. But he means bold in faith. Go up there and say, glory to God, this is mine, because the word of God says it's mine. Hallelujah. When the devil crosses your path and thoughts begin to get in your mind, just cast him aside and say, Satan, I don't have time for conversation with you. I'm busy about my father's business. Hallelujah. Take a stand in faith, and God will see you through. It's such a wonderful, thrilling thing to be a son of God. Do you really believe that you are a son of God tonight? Do you? It's like here when they said we would see Christ. People tonight are looking for a proof of Christ in your life. They don't want to just hear what you've got to say, but they want a proof of Christ in your life. They want to see if Christ delivered you, if Christ has stood by you. They want to see if you've stood by Christ, if you're an epistle that's known and read of all men. When the time of the testing come and they put Daniel down in the lion's den, Old brother Daniel didn't fear. They put him down to the lion's den. God sent the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord went down there and he locked the mouth of those lions, and those lions just paced around and looked at old brother Daniel. They might have been hungry, but they couldn't feed off of Daniel. Hallelujah. Old Daniel, he just sat back. And I don't doubt but what he might just lean back on one of them and took a little nap. Amen. I believe you have that kind of confidence in God. Oh, brother Daniel probably just said to himself, now wait a minute. God is the master of this situation. He's got the mouth of these fellows locked up. They ain't no need of me sitting here losing my sleep tonight. After all, I'll just use one of them for a pillar. Hallelujah. Why not? Glory to God. I remember one night I was out praying. I was way back down in the woods, and I was way back in some high grass out there, and down near a little old lake, and the mosquitoes was just swarming in, and everything was just wild, and I could hear cries and moans, and it was dark, and it looked like the night got so dark, looked like the moon just fled away to nowhere, you know. And it got dark, and you know when darkness gets all around you like that, it gets kind of creepy, you know. And then I was talking to God, and God began to get kind of creepy around me. I couldn't see around me, you know, and this would move and that would move, and it got kind of creepy. And it began to bother me a little bit. I couldn't even concentrate to call on God. And the night seemed so weary and so long, so drawn out, you know. And there I was down there, and after a little while, something spoke to me. And I began to think like this. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, God, you're the God of the darkness. You made the darkness. And you're the God of those animals that's wandering around out there. Whether it's a bobcat or wolf or whatever it is, you're God. And I said, you're the God of the snakes that crawl through the grass. You know, that was a good thought along about then. I said, you're the God of all of this thing. And I said, now look, God, me and you're on speaking terms. And we're fellows together. I said, now I come down here to pray and talk to you, God. I said, I want these fellas to be at peace with me. And something come over my spirit. And I said, well, my lands, I'm not worried about that. God sent me down here. If a snake starts over here, he's going to tell him to go in another direction. So I just laid down right there in the grass, and I began to look up at the stars and just kept right on talking to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can do it. God wants to do it. Because we are God's people. We are sons and daughters of God. Why should we fear? Why should we be afraid? We don't have to be afraid, folks. Daniel was down there and God locked up the mouth of the lions. The old king, he rolled and he was restless. But Daniel wasn't restless. The old king, he rolled and he was restless. They came to him and said, King, don't you want a little bit of wine to refresh yourself during the night? He said, I can't. I'm worried about Daniel. And then he'd take a little courage, you know. He said, well, I don't know. So I believe Daniel's got a God that can deliver him. I believe it. And then he'd get a little bit leery and get a little bit worried, you know. He'd get to thinking about them lions. Who could stay with a bunch of lions? So when the morning came, he hurried over there. And he got there and he said, oh, Daniel, are you still down there, Daniel? Daniel just hollered back, so to speak, said, long live the king. Everything's all right. Hallelujah. Everything's all right, Daniel said, because God has visited me. I'm pure in heart. I've not bothered anybody. I've not done anybody to harm. I'm pure in heart, O King. And God sent his angel and locked the mouth of the lions. And they haven't been able to bother me. Why? Because I'm pure in heart. I got faith. Hallelujah. I'm on speaking terms with God. I've got faith. I don't have any fear. What am I that I should fear? Why should I fear? I've got a pure heart before God. I've not bothered anybody. Jesus said he'd be my helper in the time of need. A present help in the time of need. King, I've been in need down here. And God sent his angels and locked the mouth of the lions. Don't you see what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, it's just a bunch of friendly lions. Well, there's one thing about it. God wanted his testimony to be sure that in the future, Brother Pike would look back and say, well, that was just a bunch of friendly lions, you know. And so then the old king said, get him out of there, get him out of there. He got all excited, called them in, said, get him out of there right now. He didn't want to take another minute. He didn't know but what that faith might give out. You know, they might eat Daniel up any time. So he heard him, said, get him out of here. When he got him out, the old king said, you go get every person that forced me to write that decree, every man, woman, boy, girl, child, all of them that had a hand in that, and throw them into this den of lions. And the Bible said when they hit the bottom of that den, that the lions broke their bones immediately. Just as quick as they went down to the bottom, it broke their bones. It broke their bones in pieces, the Bible said. Hallelujah. God wanted a good testimony. Why was it that the lions could not hurt him? Because Daniel was pure in heart. Daniel had seen God. Daniel had got in touch with God. He was like Enoch. Enoch was pure in heart. And Enoch pleased God. He had faith. And faith purified his heart. And he was translated that he should not see death. The old king Nebuchadnezzar set up the image and declared that everybody had to worship it. When he called for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and he said, you'll have to bow down to this just like everybody else. You're no special people. You'll have to bow down to it too. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, King, we're not careful to answer you about this matter. We don't have but one God. Hallelujah. We're not Trinity. Amen. We don't have but one God. Amen. You might worship our God and this God and another God, but we worship one God. You know, and the echo went out through the kingdom, and they said, King, said, did you know there's some people that are Jews around here that's one God, folks? Yes, yeah, so they won't worship this God you got. Said, I want to talk with them. So the old king, he threatened them. But when time come to bow down, they didn't bow down. And the Bible said the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heat. And when they got it heated up real good, the Bible said that this old king took the strongest men he had. They opened it up and they dropped Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the flames. And the Bible said when they dropped down into these flames that the flames were so terrible that even these great strong men dropped dead from the blast of the heat. God wanted a good testimony, didn't he? You know, somebody could have said, well, it just wasn't much fire down in there, just a few hot coals. But the Bible said the blast of that furnace killed the men that dropped them into the fire. The old king thought he had his problem over. But about that time, from a distance, he began to look, and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, I don't know whether they was having a hole in this meeting down there or not, but they were up, turned loose, and walking around. And the king said, look here, said, didn't we bind them, folks? You know, I imagine he got the feeling he might have been slipping a little bit up here. He said, look, said, didn't we put some kind of binding on them people? Said, didn't we bind their hands together or do something to them when we throw them in there? They said, that's right, king. He said, but they're not bound. He said, they're up and they're walking around. How about that, taking a stroll through the fire furnace? And he said, the thing that disturbs me most, he said, there's somebody else in there that we didn't throw in there. Amen. He said, I didn't put that fella in there. Said, he's an unusual looking fella. Hallelujah. Said, he don't look like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Said, he's got a countenance that looks to me like it's the Son of God himself. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, I tell you, when we walk with God, God will walk with us. When we stand with God, God will stand with us. In the day of our trials, when we need God, he'll be with us. If we are faithful to God when the sun is shining, when the trouble comes, God will stand by our side. He said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will make your enemies to be my enemies. I will put the fear of you upon all of the world, and they will be afraid of you because you are called by my name. The Bible said the old king was so shook up. He looked down there and he said, those fellas are walking around in the fire. He said, I didn't put but 3, but I see 4. And he said, I don't see any of them harmed. He said, it looks like that the flames don't have any power over them whatsoever. It looks like that they're not bothered by the fire whatsoever. They're just walking around in the flames. And he got over there close by. And he said, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, said, would you come up here? Would you come up here? They came walking out. And the Bible said as they walked out, it even scared the people because they were afraid that the king was going to get too close to the furnace himself and they were going to lose the king. They did lose the furnace. But they was going to lose the king. So they begin to get nervous and try to get the king away from there, you know. But the king had done got so beside himself, he had forgot about the fire. He had done got such faith and confidence in the God of Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, he was about to get over there in the fire with them. And they got excited. What happened to them? They were pure in the heart, hallelujah. They had a pure heart before God. They had not done any wrong. They had not transgressed the laws of God. And they were pure in heart, and they were not afraid to stand as a witness in the face of the enemy and say, I believe. I believe, O King, we're not careful to answer thee of this matter. We are believers. Our God, whom we serve continually, he will come and deliver us. I wonder tonight if you've got that kind of testimony. Do you believe tonight that God will come and deliver you? Do you believe tonight in the right thing, or do you believe in the wrong thing? I asked a question the other night. I said, how many of you believe in sickness? How many believe in sickness? Somebody would say, well, I don't believe in sickness. Why do you feel like you've got cancer? Looks like your believing is in the wrong direction. If you believe you've got cancer, then you're believing yourself to death. Isn't that right? If you believe you're sick, then you're believing yourself to death. Come on, folks. If you believe in poverty, then you're believing yourself to death. If you believe that everything is not going right, that you're not going to have the money to pay your bills, you're not going to be able to get by, then you're believing in poverty. You're not believing in God. For God's word said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Not according to your salary. Not if you have a job or don't have a job. But you are my sons and my daughters. You are the children of my household. I will meet your needs. Hallelujah. So then, what do you believe in tonight? I believe in the word of God. If the word of God tells me that because of Calvary I am free from sin, then I am free from sin. I am free from sin because God's word says I'm free from sin. If I have feelings that come over me that tends to make me believe that I am not free from sin, I turn and I say, Satan, you are a lying vanity. That spirit, that testimony, that thought, that word don't agree with the word of God. The word of God tells me that I am free from sin. And so then I am free from sin. The word of God tells me that by his stripes I am healed. It doesn't matter whether people prophesy my future, my death, my past, poverty or riches or whatever. It's what God said about it. That's where we get in trouble, folk. We put our faith in everything but the word of God. We're supposed to believe in the word of God, not dreams, not visions, not discernment, not prophecies, but God's word. You say, don't you believe in prophecies? I sure do. Don't you believe in dreams? I sure do. I believe in preaching. I sure do. But folks, when it comes to settling a matter in my heart, I settle it on God's word. Amen. When something troubles me, I know that it's not God. How do you know that? When something troubles me, I know that that's not God. Because God said, let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. When I feel trouble in spirit, when I have a troubled heart, then I say, Lord, I have no need to be troubled. That's an evil spirit. Because you told me that I had power to resist the devil. And you told me not to let my heart be troubled. I am not going to let my heart be troubled. You know, if people can learn one thing, and that is that they have the power to keep themselves from being troubled, they'd have a much happier life. When the devil threatens to do something to one of my loved ones, and I've been in some deep water, as Jerry sang the song, you know, and he threatens to do something to one of my loved ones, I turn to God, and I say, God, you said that you have given me all things that pertain unto life. My loved ones are not supposed to die. My loved ones are not supposed to be in trouble. I know that they've given place to the devil, but God, I'm going to pray and believe. And you're going to do something about it. And he does. Hallelujah. Have you loved the Lord? I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I'm just trying to find out what your faith is. The Bible said examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. I just want to hold you just for a few more minutes. Now, see, what do you believe in? I believe in the Word. Whatever the Word says, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it will be if you believe in it. Somebody will say, Brother Pike, I believed in it and it didn't work. That's why I stopped. Oh, don't be childish. How can you stop believing anything that you believe in? How could you do that? Hallelujah. Amen. How could I stop believing that I'm a human being? How could I ever do that? See, I got a conviction I'm a human being. I can never stop doing that. Unless I lost my mind and went crazy. See, I'm a human being. If you're a child of faith and you're born to the faith of Jesus Christ, you're born of this Word. This is the seed of God that God begot you of. This is God's seed word that we are born of. We have the nature of this Word, and the nature of this Word is faith. Glory to God, I'm born of that Word. What was it they said in the book of Genesis? Said, and God sowed the seed out, and the seed had life within itself. Isn't that right? The seed had life within itself. It reproduced after its own order. I don't have to build it up or try to make believe. It is a seed of life. It reproduces in my life. It's like a self-serving something, you know, that you get a hold of. The Word of God reproduces in my life. I believe. I'm born to the Word. The Word talks to me and I talk to the Word. Hallelujah. So then what do I believe in? I believe in the Word. What is the Word? The Word is success. Hallelujah. What is the Word? The Word said, I'm more than an overcomer through Christ that give himself for me. What is the Word? It says, I'm healed by stripes. What is this Word? I believe in this Word. What is the testimony of this Word? Hallelujah. Oh, I love that Word. I've read that Word day and night. That Word grows in me. I grow in it. The Bible said, abide in my Word, and my Word abide in you. Ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. I love the Word. Hallelujah. Can't help but get excited, Brother Fontaine. So then, where are we living tonight? Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith of the Word. Now, just a little bit longer now. You're not supposed to go around believing that you're sick. You say, but Brother Pike, what if I really am sick? Then forget it. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't be silly. How are you going to forget it if you're sick? When was you sick? Somebody said, yesterday. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind. Somebody said, but I'm sick today. Then you're an unbeliever. Because you're supposed to be believing today. Believing in the Word. And the Word said you're healed. Glory to God, we're not a bunch of unbelievers. Somebody said, but, there ain't no but about it. Amen. You know what the Lord said when Moses went down there to deliver them people? Moses said, look here. God, who am I? Lord, you don't really think that Pharaoh's going to pay any attention to what I have to say. Said, who am I going to tell him, you know, that sent me down there? Who's the big wheel behind this thing? He said, Moses, said, you just go down there to Pharaoh. You just walk right up to Pharaoh and you say, Pharaoh, I am has sent me. I like that, don't you? Now, when we talk about that, we're thinking of a present help in the time of need. Now then, Pharaoh said, who sent you down here? Moses said, I am sent me. You know, I just see old Pharaoh, he looked all around, you know. Said, who sent you down here, Moses? I am has sent me. Oh, I like that. Glory to God. When Judas came to Jesus over there in the garden, when he began to call, and they said,
Where is the Son of God? Where is this Jesus? Jesus said, I am He.
Somebody said, what about the dead? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am what I am. I am the great I am.
Hallelujah. Moses said, don't look no further. The fellow that I'm serving, he's right here in me, and me and him's one. I represent this case, and I tell you what God told me. And Moses said, you better stand up and take notice when I say it's going to be done. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. When you get out there and you go to preach a sermon, you go to say something, somebody said, hey, what church are you from? Who sent you over here? Say, brother, it's the I am. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, me and my Father are one. They were so confounded. He said, I am. He sent me. They said, where is he at? He said, me and my Father are one. Said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. Said, if you can't see him, you haven't seen me. He had them folks so mixed up, they didn't know what to do. They were so confounded, you know. You know, if you say the seminary over here sent me, they can go and, you know, war with the seminary. If you said America sent me, they can throw bombs on America, you know. But when you say I am and sent me, they don't know who to fight with. They don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. They said, well, if you're going to take all the glory, said, we'll just kill you. He said, that's all right, go ahead and do it. Said, 3 days, you'll be worse shape you was to start with. Said, because if you ever put me down there, in about 3 days, said, I'm going to come out from down there. And then the whole world is going to follow me. The whole world. Said, you'll really be in bad shape then. That'll really be a testimony against you, because I'll not only show you I can restore a blind eye, open a deaf ear, or make a lame to walk, but I'll show you that I've got power over death. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Somebody said God had that. We've got that. God gave it to you and I. We're sons and daughters of God. And he said, behold, I give unto you, not unto Jesus, not unto somebody else, but unto you, all power, or power, over all the powers of the enemy. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many got the Holy Ghost tonight? How many feel the Holy Ghost? See, ye shall receive power. Where's your power tonight? What kind of power is it? It's power over all the powers of the enemy. What is the powers of the enemy? Sickness? How many got power over sickness? Let me see your hand. Come on now. You really mean it. You really believe it. Have you got power over poverty tonight? Have you got power over gossip? Come on. Hallelujah. As Brother Wilson said. Hallelujah. Have you got power tonight? I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Have you really got it? Have you got power tonight over sickness? Have you got power over death? How do you know that death is an enemy? The Bible said it's the enemy of God and the last enemy to be conquered. How many of you have conquered death? Come on, folks, give me a response. If you believe in life tonight, then say life. Praise God. It's like Brother Jerry when he said he was drowning. He said, I don't believe in death. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe in life. We're supposed to believe in life, not death. I believe in life. I like to live, don't you? I believe in life. I believe God's with me. God loves me. God's for me. And God's going to move me and use me and stand for me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I love to live. Traded my heartaches for the blessings of God. What do you believe in tonight, folks? You know, it all depends on whether you can see God or not. And that depends on whether or not you are pure in heart. How have you agreed to that? God is here tonight. God is here tonight. You are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. God walks in you. God talks in you. You're God's temple tonight. You have power over the powers of the enemy tonight. All you got to do is utilize it. I'm enjoying mine. I mean it. I'm really enjoying mine. A lot of times the devil will come around and say, boy, you're going to die. I said, I ain't making no plans for it at all. That's right. He'll come. He really talks to you. He'll come around and he'll grab me and cause something to happen to one of my loved ones. And he'll try to shake me and he'll say, you scared to death. I said, not a bit. Not a bit. But he said, look at all them terrible things that are about to happen. I said, I can't see none of them. Can't see none of them. He'll say, well, to sum the whole thing up, you're just lost. I say, God's not a liar. That wasn't what he said. God's not a liar. That wasn't what he said. He said, yeah, but God, you know, you've been going this way a long time. And what it is, God, y'all just done got separated. I said, no, that can't be, because he said he'd never leave me. Now, I might stumble, I might stagger, I might get off the trail, but he's going to stay with me. Because he said he'd never leave me. He said, well, you're in a fix now. I said, but the Bible said he would never forsake me. And he would be a present help to me in the time of need. And this is a time of need. How many know you get the devil nervous and upset? Sure you can. Amen. You can put him, you can cause him to humble himself. The Bible said the devil humbles himself. When legion come racing down through there, and I'm going to close. Just don't give up hope. Legion come racing down through there at Jesus. You know, Bible history says that Judas was with him. And said when legion come sweeping down through that graveyard, said Judas run and got in the boat and covered up his head. That's right. But Jesus just stood there. Legion run up to him, roaring and a going on. You know, the Bible teaches that Satan goes around like a roaring lion. Don't say he's a lion, but he roars like one. And he come roaring, and about the time he roared two or three times, the lion of the tribe of Judah roared, and he knew he wasn't a lion. That's right. He roared two or three times, and he found out he was just a bobcat or a kitten. Amen. That's right. So he roared, and when he roared, Jesus just stood there. And Jesus spoke a few words, and the devil got so nervous, he said, look, said, don't torment us for a time. Said, don't do that. So Jesus just as if to say, well, you ain't good enough to live in a human being, and I doubt if you can live in him hogs, but I'll let you go out there anyway. Just as if to say that. The Bible didn't say that, but just as if to say it, you know. And so they said, look, if you're going to put us out a human being, said, at least let us live in the hogs. But you know what? When them devils got in them hogs had more sense than people. That's right. The hogs wouldn't let the devil live in them. They chose to commit suicide before they'd let the devil live in them. And the Bible said the whole herd run down violently down a steep place and got into the waters or into the ocean, and every one of them drowned right there in the sea, whatever it was. Had more sense than people. That's right. Wouldn't let a devil live in them. And if I can't be a human being with God's presence in me, I don't want to be nothing at all. I love Christ, and Christ is in me, and he made me a promise. And I claim that promise, and I don't intend to back up on that promise by the help of God. And when the devil starts roaring and roaring and roaring, what you've got to do is say, look at your devil, I'm not afraid of you. Be just as harmless as a dove when you say it. And be just as wise as a serpent while you're watching him. Don't give him a move that you don't see, because he's a slick fella. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. All right, I want you to stand with me. The pure in heart shall see God. And if we are pure in heart, we can see God. This is a translation. Maybe we'll get deeper into the water one day. But this is the translation by faith. You know, Enoch didn't wait for God to come sweeping down out of heaven, did he? Did he do that? No. Somebody said, well, Enoch was translated by whirlwind. You ever heard that? Said, you know, Elijah was raptured by a fiery chariot, and Enoch was translated by whirlwind. But according to what I understand, the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. He was translated by faith. And all The last they saw of him, it was the whirlwind. Old Elijah was translated by faith. And when he got ready to go home, the last they saw of him was a fire chariot. That's right. You remember the vision I had one night where I was caught up in a whirlwind? That's right, I was caught up in a whirlwind. It come down and it picked me up. I waved goodbye. I was way up in the air. I was waving goodbye to Daddy and Mom and all of them because I was gone. Hallelujah. I was going on to be with Jesus. God is good, ain't he? You know what I like about God? The Bible said he has his way in the whirlwind. Has his way in the whirlwind. So then it is so good to be here tonight. It's good to really believe that you are a Christian. Really, truly believe that you are a Christian. You know, really believe in the sonship of God. When you really believe, you enter into a rest. You know, you don't spend every day saying, well, I might have missed it. I thought it was yesterday, but I don't know about today. Amen. You know, your wife, she gets upset with you and you go around about two or three times and you're not sure whether you're a Christian or she's a Christian, either one. Isn't that right? That's right. But you know, there's a place where you can live and find God to where you know that you are a Christian. You know that you pass from death unto life. How many of you tonight know, and not think, but how many of you tonight know that you have passed from death unto life? The Bible said we know. We know. You say, Brother Pike, I don't know. Well, you just didn't make it. See, you didn't make it because the Bible said we know. If you don't have that no down in there, you haven't made it. You haven't passed from death unto life. You haven't come into that translation. You haven't come into that faith. Because that's what faith is. It knows. Because God's word said it, it knows. My sheep know my voice. The voice said we passed from death unto life. I know that I have passed from death unto life. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. All right, we know tonight that we are his. And if we are his, then he is my heavenly father. And I'll tell you what, that really gets me excited. When I think that I've got a heavenly father, that God who created the world, and Jesus Christ who is King of Kings, he's my personal friend. And he's my elder brother, and he's my father. That makes me feel like I can just have my way about things, don't you? You know, when you're a king's son, you know, they get spoiled, you know, they just have their way about something, you know? Isn't that right? Well, that's the way it is with the kingdom of God. We're not spoiled, but we just have our way about the things, and the devil don't like it. But there ain't nothing to do about it. Every time he turns into a complaint to God, God said, well, you know, he's a prince. You have to... Can't do nothing about it, you know. Amen. The devil say, yeah, but I saw him doing such and such yesterday. Say, yeah, well, that's true. I have to give him a chastisement, but he's still a prince. Amen. When David done wrong, it didn't change the fact he was a prophet, did it? God gave him a real beating, but I tell you what, he was still a prophet. And that's what makes the devil mad, you know. That's what makes the devil mad. All right. How many feel like a prince tonight? Brother Prince is coming to visit with us. And you don't want to fill out a place, do you? All right, let's sing this little chorus together. You've been a good audience tonight. And I thank the Lord for you. I appreciate you being here. Folks, don't forget the benefits of God. Don't forget the benefits of God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. There's a lot of benefits in God. Don't let your soul forget them. Benefits of healing, benefits of preservation, benefits of happiness, benefits of joy. Oh, my soul, David said, don't forget them benefits. Oh, I don't want to forget them benefits. Do you, Toby? Lord, help me to think about them benefits. Amen. Glory to God. Just think about the benefits of God and your cup will run over. You know, that's why the church has lost its joy, because it's lost its faith. Lost his faith in the benefits, isn't that right? I mean, why should you worry if you really believe God's going to make all your beds in the time of your sickness? Why should you worry if you really believe that though many are the afflictions of the righteous, God will deliver him out of them all. Why should you worry whether it's cancer, TB, heart trouble, or whatever? You just say, Lord, you said it. You said it, Jesus. It's got to be right. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Let Go, and let God have his wonderful way. Oh, let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows all will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. You know, when you go home tonight and you lay down, pull the pillow up under your head, you know, your body's tired and weary. Some of you know you go through aches, problems and hurts, discomforts of the night. A lot of times because you don't use no wisdom. Some of you's like me, you eat at all times when you ought not to, and times you ought to, you don't. All of our faults is on ourselves, you know. But you lay down tonight, just lay there and look up to God just before you go to sleep. Talk to him for just a minute or two. And just say, Jesus, I love you. I really do, Jesus. And Lord, tonight, I ain't gonna let my heart be troubled. You told me, Jesus. You told me. I know it's like you said. I'm not gonna doubt, because Lord, you're the one that said it. And I wouldn't want to hurt you by not believing what you said. You said everything worked together for good to them that love the Lord. And I love you, Jesus. And I'm gonna lay down tonight, and I'm just gonna go to sleep. And I'm gonna rest and relax, trust you. And if I wake up over in glory, well, that'll be all right. Because I know that's where I'm going to wake up. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm something special. But because you're good and you're something special and you said it. I like that, don't you? Just lay there and rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning, feel real good. Open your eyes, you know, and look around. Look up and say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you because you kept me through the night. And now here's another day, Jesus, for me to do something for you to show you that I really love you. Lord, I know everything's going to be well with me today. Not because I feel like it will. Not because I dreamed it would. Not because somebody promised it. Not because I'm trying to make believe, but I believe it because your word said all things work together for my good, Lord. Everything's going to be well with me today. You're going to bless me. You're going to help me. And I'm going to eat the grapes of Canaan today. Oh, I like that. I like to talk like that, don't you? Because I like to think like that, because that's right. That's the right kind of thinking. Hallelujah. Let's get out of the rut of the old carnal mind, folks. Let's quit thinking in terms of defeat. Let's think about victory. We're more than victorious, more than overcomers. Let's think in terms of victory tonight. God is the high priest of our confession tonight. Let's confess with our heart by faith the word of the living God. Forgetting not all the benefits, let's confess all things that pertain unto life. Can you sing that chorus again? I tell you what, let's try this little chorus. The chorus, we'll overcome. Let's try that one. How many believe that we have already overcome? One night I want to relate a little bit of revelation to you and show you by revelation that we've already overcome. Okay, let's just sing this together. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. Oh, I can believe we'll overcome someday. We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold. Yeah. I can believe we'll walk on streets of gold.
Sing it again.
For we have overcome. We have overcome. Oh, in my heart, oh Lord, I believe we've overcome today.
Sing it again.
We have overcome. We have overcome. Because in my heart, Lord, I believe we've overcome today.
How many feel like you really overcome? I feel like you really have. You know, I believe we're clear over Jordan tonight. Done come over that old carnal mind. You know, to be carnally minded is death. Is that right? That's death. But when you overcome the carnal mind, everything's fine. See, look. Oh, I wish I could preach you a sermon tonight. Well, let me say this right hurriedly and close. Just a little bit of revelation. Death only exists in your thoughts, folks. You believe me? Death comes from the tree of knowledge, isn't that right? And that knowledge was thoughts, isn't that right? The thoughts of the devil, isn't that right? And the Bible said, lean not to your own thoughts, isn't that right? But he said, think the thoughts that I give Adam to begin with, when everything was all right. Isn't that right? Don't forget them benefits, thanks them thoughts. What kind of thoughts? You say, what kind of thoughts is the carnal thoughts, Brother Pike? Gotta take out some insurance. Gotta give me a casket. Amen. I'm 52 years old. I know it won't be long. Are you listening? Folks, I'm growing more old and more feeble and more weak. Come on. Somebody said I'm 60 years old. It can't be long. Old Caleb said I'm a whole lot older and ready to go. Hallelujah. I'm a whole lot older and still ready to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It just exists in that carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death, but to be godly minded is life. So then let's think the right thoughts. When you get over Jordan, you're over the carnal mind. When you get over the carnal mind, you're over Jordan. Ain't no more death. Jesus said, he that heareth my thoughts, my word, believeth on him that sent me, he's passed from death unto life. You love him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more chorus and I'll let you go. I like this chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. I believe that he's the one that deserves it, don't you? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.